Gaha.
Who?
No. Indeed. Asha. Of Lord Rishabhadeva. Kashtam. The example. Aparaha. Else. Anugachet. Can follow. Mana Ratena. By the mind. Api. Even. Avavasya. Of the unborn. Yogi. The mystic. Yaha. Who? Yogamayaha. The mystic perfections of yoga. Srihayati. Desires. Udastaha. Rejected by Rishabhadeva. He certainly. Asatya. By the quality of being insubstantial. Yena. By whom? Rishabhadeva. Kritta Prayatnaha. Although eager to serve. So translation. Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadeva even with his mind? Lord Rishabhadeva rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hankered to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadeva? You can repeat. Who is that mystic yogi?
Who is that mystic yogi?
Who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadeva?
Even with his mind.
Lord Rishabhadeva rejected all kinds of yogic perfection. Which other yogis hankered to attain. Who is that yogi? Who can compare to Lord Rishabhadeva? So purport by the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Generally, yogis desire the yogic perfections of anima, ragima, mohima, prakamya, prapti, ishitva, vasitva, and kama vasayita. Lord Rishabhadeva, however, never aspired for all these material things. As such cities, perfections are presented by the illusory energy of the Lord. The real purpose of the yoga system is to achieve the favor and shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but this purpose is covered by the illusory energy of yoga maya. So-called yogis are therefore allured by the superficial material perfections of anima, lagima, prapti, and so forth. Consequently, ordinary yogis cannot compare to Lord Rishabhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kom vasya kastam aparona gachen manoratenapyava vasya yogi yo yoga maya sprihayat yudasta yasatya yena krita prayatnaha. So omagana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So, these yogic perfections, as described here, are quite attractive for the conditioned soul. I can't say that I'm not attracted to them. That would be dishonest. And I want to read the explanation of them from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is a description of the mystic yogic perfections from chapter 15 in the 11th canto. That's very interesting. There's primary and secondary mystic perfections. Of course, the primary are called the eight mystic perfections. It's called Astasiddhis. And they're the ones that are mentioned here about Lord Rishabhadeva. Of course, he also had the secondary perfections. One interesting thing to note is that one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was a German gentleman, he said, what is the use of attaining these yogic perfections when in the West, because of the advancement of science, people are already doing these things. Not in terms of yogic perfections, but they're actually already, instead of walking on water, they're taking speedboats or jet skis or something like that. So it's actually much, in other words, it's probably even a little more enticing than having the yogic perfections to have these devices, because, you know, you walk on water, you can go a few feet. But if you take jet skis or you take a big boat across, you can go across the ocean. I mean, you never hear about a yogi walking across the ocean. They walk on water. Even with Lord Jesus Christ, who had certainly had the yogic perfection because he was a pure devotee, he walked on water. But it's not described that he walked all the way over to the United States or anything like that. So anyway, it's actually a little bit more enticing to modern perfections. What to speak of computers, where you can communicate with people and see the images of someone from, you know, thousands of miles away. Even now they have this thing that landed on Mars. It's called Curiosity. As they say, Curiosity killed the cat. So, and they're watching the video. It's very enlivening, materially, of course, not spiritually. But it's amazing seeing all these things. Or it was like last night, I had some hour at National Geographic. I was looking at pictures of the Antarctic, and seeing all these about the miracle of photography, digital photography, modern things. So it's amazing. That's why people are so bewildered. They're just looking for these yogic perfections nowadays using modern technology. You know, the big screen TVs. You know, with the yogic perfection, maybe you can see what's going on in the football game. But not that everybody can see. Not you can sit down with your family and everybody can see the Rose Bowl or the Toilet Bowl or whatever type of bowl game is going on. But with the TV, you and your family can just sit down and just be mesmerized and watch all these things. So it's actually a little bit more enticing than yogic perfections. You don't have to execute great austerities. You just go to Walmart, which is a lot easier than sitting in the Himalayas for thousands of years. You just take your car, go to Walmart, which is where America worships, as they say, and you get a big screen TV. I mean, it's like walls. You go to Walmart. I was there the other day. Anyone here ever been to Walmart? I don't think there's anyone here who has not been to... I don't think there's anyone in America who hasn't been to Walmart. If you think about it. So there's a wall of big screen TVs. Literally. I mean, there's maybe like 50 big screen TVs. And it's just... You walk in there and it's just mesmerizing. Wow. And now they have the HD TV. You know, that means high density, you know, so it looks almost like picture. And then now they have the 3D TV. And then they'll have the, what is it, the TV that you put on your glasses, the Google thing. Anyone's heard about that before? No. They have this, the latest thing that this year is going to be very popular. You just have TV on your, it actually goes right in front of your eye like that. So you can actually watch TV while you're driving a car. We're doing so. I mean, it's just like, I mean, look at all the technology that we have, like the iPads, and you check your email on your iPhone or your iPad. You can read all these books. You don't need books anymore. I mean, this technology is very bewildering, extremely bewildering. In fact, it's much more bewildering, I think, than yogic powers. Anyway, so we're going to read about the yogic powers so you get an idea of what yogic powers are, the original yogic powers. And this is from the fourth text of the 15th chapter of the 11th canto. So I'll read the Sanskrit. anima mahima murte lagima praptirindriya hai. Prakamyam shruti drishteshu shakti pre ranamishita guneshvasango vashita yat kamas tad avasyati. Eta me siddhya somya astav ot patita mataha. Among the eight primary mystic perfections, the three by which one transforms one's own body, in other words, you can actually transform the elements of your gross material body, which is interesting, are anima, that means becoming smaller than the smallest. You can make yourself the size of a little ant and crawl on the chair here. Wouldn't that be interesting? Then mahima, becoming greater than the greatest. That means you expand your body greater and greater and greater. Just like when it's described by Valmiki in the Ramayana, that when Hanuman was fighting with these Rakshasas, of course Rakshasas had some demoniac mystic powers, then the Rakshasa made himself bigger, and Hanuman made himself bigger, and the Rakshasa made himself bigger, and Hanuman made, you know, it was like a competition, who could make the other one bigger, himself bigger. And then finally, the Rakshasa just expended all of his, you know, bigness energy, and he was looking for Hanuman, and he just saw like a round thing in front of him, you know, round thing. And he looked out and he was wondering, what is this round thing? I don't see Hanuman anywhere. And it happened to be like the kneecap of Hanuman. Because Hanuman had much more, I mean, Hanuman's mystic power is just like unlimited, whereas the demoniac mystic powers are very limited. It's explained about Garuda, for example, like even one of his feathers is actually bigger than the whole, that's called Suparna for that reason, is bigger than the whole universe. He dropped one of his feathers when Indra fired the thunderbolt at him, just to honor the thunderbolt of Indra. Not that he was actually hurt by Indra. And that was everyone was amazed. Look at that feather. So he could expand himself very large. And Hanuman did that too, all the time. He expanded himself. Actually, he could have killed Ravana. However, he allowed he was carrying out his mission for Lord Ram, where he wanted Lord Ram to be glorified. So that's mahima, becoming greater than the greatest. And lagima, becoming lighter than the lightest. So it's sometimes described that the yogi can float on a sunbeam or moonbeam. He can float on the light. Just like sometimes if you see light coming in through the window, and there's some dust in the air. Anyone seen that? And there's like dust particles floating in there. So, because they're very light, the dust particles. So the yogi can actually float on that, on the sunlight and the sunbeams, and even ride the sunbeams to the sun or wherever he wants to go. And then through the perfection of prapti, one acquires whatever one desires. Prabhupada describes the yogi who would generally reach out and get mangoes for his disciples, even when they weren't in season. And through Prakamya Siddhi, one experiences any enjoyable object, either in this world or in the next. Through Ishita Siddhi, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of Maya, and through the controlling potency called Vashishta Siddhi, one is unimpeded by the three modes of nature. One who has acquired Kamavasayita Siddhi can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. My dear gentle Uddhava, these eight mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled in this world. Actually, we can read Prabhupada's purport, which is interesting in this regard. Through anima siddhi, one can become so small that one can enter a stone and pass through any obstacle. Through mahima siddhi, one becomes so great that one covers everything. And through lagima, one becomes so light that one could ride, this is exactly what I said, on the sun rays into the sun planet. Through Prapti City, one can acquire anything from anywhere and can even touch the moon with one's finger. By this mystic perfection, one can enter into the senses of any other living entity through the predominating deities of the particular senses. Wow. Shankaracharya did that. When a king died, as I was explaining, I was talking about this the other day, he was having an argument with a lady about lusty affairs, you know, loving affairs. You understand the heart, like that, like we saw last night. So he was having an argument, and he didn't understand anything about it, so he entered into the body of a dead king and took over the body, was able to experience what the king was experiencing. Therefore, he could argue based on first-hand experience. And thus, by utilizing the senses of others, one can acquire anything. It's like if I had that, I would enter into the President of the United States. And I would just say, everyone should chant Hare Krishna. Then I would leave before it got too heavy. And then he would say, what did I say? What did I say? You know? Anyway. Through Prakamya, one can experience any enjoyable object, either in the world or in the next. And through Ishita, or the controlling potency, one can manipulate the subpotency of Maya, which are material. In other words, even by acquiring mystic powers, one cannot pass beyond the control of illusion. However, one may manipulate the subpotencies of illusion. What that means is that you can put other people into illusion, bewilder other people, and control. And the other, and that leads into the next one, which is avashita, or the power to control. One can bring others under one's domination or keep oneself beyond the control of the three modes of material nature. Ultimately, one acquires through kamayavasita the maximum powers of control, acquisition, and enjoyment. The word otpatika in this verse indicates being original, unnatural, and unexcelled. These eight mystic potencies originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in the superlative degree, that means the highest degree. Lord Krishna becomes so small that he enters within the atomic particles, and he becomes so large that as Mahavishnu, he breathes out millions of universes. The Lord can become so light or subtle that even great mystic yogis cannot perceive him. And the Lord's acquisitive power is perfect because he keeps the total existence eternally within his body. The Lord certainly can enjoy whatever he likes, control all energies, dominate all other persons, and exhibit complete omnipotency. Therefore, it is to be understood that these eight mystic perfections are insignificant expansions of the mystic potency of the Lord, who in Bhagavad Gita is called Yogeshwara, the Supreme Lord of all mystic potencies. These eight perfections are not artificial, but are natural and unexcelled, because they originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, one perfection that the Lord has is the perfection of renunciation. As we hear, one of the qualities we talk about, the six qualities, Bhagavan, of the Lord. So even though he has all these different perfections, he's not enamored by them. Like if you gave any one of us these perfections, at least me, you know, controlling everybody. Wow. It's very attractive. If you think about controlling everybody, you bring everybody to Mangalarti every morning. It was just like yesterday, we had a lot of people in the program, but I bring them all to Mangalarti. Actually, for Krishna conscious reasons. Prabhupada was interesting. I'll tell you a Prabhupada story now that we're talking about Mangalarti. Prabhupada was in Mexico City, and there was a late night program. You know, there was a lot of preaching and everything like that. And then Prabhupada got up early the next morning, like everybody else got up. Not like he usually got up, sorry, not everybody else. And then he came down to the temple room, and he saw that everybody was sleeping. You know the story of Mexico City. And Prabhupada got upset with everybody. He said, what are you sleeping for? Even though they were up like to midnight or something like that. So, Anyway, so if I had that mystic power, that's what I would do. I put everybody to sleep early. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. You are sleepy. Go to sleep. Okay, it's 3 o'clock. Get up. 1064 rounds. Hare Krishna. But unfortunately, I don't have those mystic powers. I can speak a little bit. But we see people. Oh, let's talk about the Lord's renunciation. The Lord has those mystic powers, but he doesn't. First of all, he doesn't force people to do things. He doesn't go against someone's free will. And secondly, he's actually controlled by the love of his devotees, even though he's the most powerful person. I mean, that's a real interesting dynamic there. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whoever he wants, and it's always dharmic. Yet, he's controlled by the love of his devotees. So that's the perfection of his renunciation. So in the same way, we should be controlled by love for Krishna. That no matter what opulence we have, of course, we should pray to Krishna, because we all have some opulence. I haven't figured out my opulence yet. But anyway, we all have some opulence, something that we can do well, some talent, you know, we're artistic, or can speak, or can play music, or whatever it is. And we become very proud. They say a pauper is proud of his penny. So we become very proud of whatever talent or opulence or mystic power. We all have mystic power in one sense. Like Prabhupada said, the nails growing, it's like mystic power. And the hairs. Of course, when you get older, you lose your mystic powers, at least the men. They lose the mystic powers in the middle of their head first, and then they just go to the side. So, but, you know, at least we have the... Yeah, I lost my mystic powers. So at least we have the mystic power of growing the nails. Those keep growing even after you die. The dead body actually grows the nails. So, but we become proud of whatever we have. Proud, and we become angry. Whereas the Supreme Lord, he has all those potencies. And he's not proud, he's not angry, and he's controlled by love. So we should be controlled in that same way. So anyway, so that was one point. So the question is also, how do we become detached from these different opulences we may have? You know, not only mystic powers, but opulences like money, wealth, followers, and all those things. We have to continually chant the Lord's holy names. Because in the age of Kali, the material energy is so heavy that as soon as you forget Krishna, it just like really bewilders you in so many ways. So many things. You know, you become angry, you become attached, you become proud. So I see the only solution is just always be absorbed in the names of Krishna. Anyway, so let's continue reading about the mystic perfections, the secondary mystic perfections. The secondary mystic perfections, there are 10 of them, arising from the modes of nature, are the powers of freeing oneself from hunger and thirst and other bodily disturbances, hearing and seeing things far away, moving the body at the speed of the mind. Gopal would like that one. It's like a superpower. Isn't it? You should tell Gopal about this later. All these things, like he can become like a superhero if he practices the mystic yoga system. He should go to the Himalayas and just meditate for about 1,000 years, and they can put on his costume, you know, his Green Lantern costume or his whatever, Superman or Flash. That's how to become a superhero. Anyway. Dying when one desires, witnessing the pastimes between the demigods and the celestial girls called apsaras, that's better than a Bollywood movie, and completely executing one's determination and giving orders whose fulfillment is unimpeded. I'll continue reading. The power to know past, present, and future, tolerance of heat, cold, and other dualities, knowing the minds of others, checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison, and so on, and remaining unconquered by others, these constitute five perfections of the mystic process of yoga and meditation. I am simply listing these here according to their names and characteristics. Now, please learn from me how specific mystic perfections arise from specific meditations and also of the particular processes involved. I'm not going to read about how to do it. I'm just going to give this copy to Gopal later on. So, I guess that's it. So any questions or comments about mystic perfections, which Rishabhadev was detached from, which is what we were reading today?
Well, not that it's just out of curiosity that you talked about a Hanuman competition with the
Rakshasa.
And a thought crossed my mind that if there's so much effort going into the expansion,
yeah,
does it diminish other prowess, other aspects of prowess?
No. No, it doesn't. Well, it depends whether one has demonic. Later on, Krishna, in this Bhagavatam, Krishna discusses demonic mystic powers. You know, there's actually, these are the godly ones which one gets from yoga. But then there's demoniac, I guess it's called the left hand and tantra and stuff like that, which the Rakshasas have. And that may diminish, you know, the more they try to do something, the more their powers are diminished. But as far as these mystic powers, no, they don't get diminished by the exercise of one particular power.
These are delivered out of...
These are natural.
Performance of austerity.
Yeah, these are natural mystic powers. And how to achieve them, basically it has to do with meditating on Krishna. They're all these natural mystic powers are achieved by meditating on different forms of Krishna. I'll just read the next verse. One who worships me in my atomic form, pervading all subtle elements, fixing his mind on that alone, obtains the mystic perfection called anima. So anima, of course, is this making yourself very small. So if you meditate, if you're able to be absorbed in how the Supreme Lord is able to make himself very small, you know, there's an aspect of devotional service to it. It's not simply, you know, just sitting there and chanting, oh, more, I want mystic powers, or like the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was offering this a levitation power in the 1960s. I don't know if you remember that. It was an advertisement, you know, take this levitation seminar. And there were some videos of his followers, you know, bouncing on a bed. You know, I could do, if this had cushions, if this had springs, I could actually do the same thing here. You know, just bouncing. There's pictures of them. They didn't stay up. They just went down. And this is them learning how to levitate. I mean, I could do the same thing. We have a trampoline in the backyard over there. I even had a picture of myself taken on someone's trampoline and posted on Facebook. And someone said, Gurudev has all these mystic powers. And another person said, no, it's Photoshop. It wasn't Photoshop. I was just up in the air on the trampoline. And they happened to shoot the picture exactly at the right time. So, so you're meditating on some aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth, how the Lord is smaller than the smallest, or how the Lord is all-pervading. And you become absorbed in that consciousness, and therefore you're able to somehow or other imbibe that particular potency. So you're meditating on one of the Lord's potencies and one of the Lord's abilities. So those are natural mystic powers. Other ones, like by cutting off your flesh or something and offering them to the fire, like the Vrikasura, those are not natural mystic powers. Those are demoniac powers. You know, there are actually demoniac powers that one can get. Like Prabhupada talked about, there was one politician in India who would drink his own urine. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Moroji Desai or something? Moroji Desai. Yeah, so he would drink his own urine. And Prabhupada said, you know, that makes you very powerful. But it's demoniac. you know, Prabhupada commented on it. But it's demoniac. It makes you also demoniac when you do something like that. You know, so there's certain austerities you can perform. I mean, like Hitler, he was a demon, obviously. So he, at least in a previous life or sometime, he did some demoniac things to get those powers. You know, he had the power to mesmerize the Germans. One of the fathers, a father of one of my disciples, said to me that after World War II was over, people would come and they said, "Wow, I can't believe I did that." You know, they just like snapped out of a trance. It's almost like hypnotism. But he was able to hypnotize a whole country. Can you imagine that? You know, so that there has to be some power in that particular area to be able to do that. So that's demoniac power. You know, the demons have power. Or the Rakshasas are naturally born with these powers. For example, when there was the discussion of how the army of Lord Ram would cross the ocean to go to Lanka, first they asked Vibhishan. You know, Vibhishan had already crossed the ocean with his followers to take shelter of Lord Ram. So they said, "Vibhishan, can you teach us how to fly through the air?" And Vibhishan said, "No. These are natural potencies that were born with as Rakshasas. So they can't be learned, at least in the way the Rakshasas had them. They can't be learned. So you're going to have to figure another way." And so Lord Ram eventually propitiated Varuna, the god of the water, and the god of the water said that I can make the stones float if you write your name on it, you know, Lord Ram's name on the stones, and then you can make a bridge across. So therefore, you see in that particular example that the Rakshasas have these natural mystic powers. So some people, I mean, it's a fact that sometimes you see people of certain races have certain powers that people of other races don't have, or people with certain bodies have certain powers. It just goes along with the body, like Apsaras or Gandharvas. They naturally have certain powers. So anyway, it's part of the body. So any other questions? Yeah.
I was curious, as devotees, should we meditate on these in order to become better servants?
No. We should meditate on the pastimes of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and pray. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri Bir, Edamanda Dhapuman. To not be attached to any of these things, you know, because there's so many things we can become attached to in this world. It's like the whole world is like a tar baby for us. You know what a tar baby is? You know, it's just like some little doll that has tar on it. So everything you touch, you get attached to. It sticks, you know. And then the more you try to pull yourself off. Let's say if this is a tar baby here. Let's just say this arm of the chair. Now my arm's sticking. All right, let me use my other hand to push myself off. Then my other hand gets stuck. And then if you take my foot here. And then my foot gets stuck. And then I try my nose, and then my nose gets stuck. So the material world is like that. You know, it just grows on you. It's like a fungus infection. So you can't get out just by, like, trying to reject matter. And we get so attached. So the only point is to get attached to Krishna's holy names. I mean, that's the real point. I mean, everything else is secondary. In Kali Yuga, we should be attached to Krishna's name. Yeah.
Why is it that not so adhesive? We're not so adhesive
to Krishna.
Matter we stick so easily, but the name is
because we're committing offenses. We've committed offenses. That's why we don't have a taste. We've committed offenses against Vaishnavas in particular, or the holy Dham, or the deities. I mean, if we hadn't committed offenses, we'd be completely stuck to the holy name, you know, completely attached. Nama Ruchi, Jiva Doya. These are the two important things. If we're not developing those two things, we're in trouble. Nama Ruchi and Jiva Doya. That's part of Jiva Doya, Vaishnava Seva, as I mentioned last night. Vishvaksena kata suya not padiyad yadi ritim shama evi kevalam. If one doesn't develop attachment in that way, then it's described as wasting his time. That means you're probably committing offenses, like inattention while chanting, disobeying the order. You know, the 10 offenses on chanting, we all know those. We should be so extremely attached, just like more than we're attached to matter. Okay, and that happy note.